What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us on another episode of After the Breakdown, your spot for all things metal, hardcore, and everything influential, baby. I'm your host, Z, and with me, as always, are my homies Von Doom and MWB. Today's episode, we got Chanel of Wisdom and War. Let's go.
We'll go over, I want to know about opening for Soulfly, which is...
Oh, dude. So you want to start off with that, or the Papa Roach?
Definitely start off with that.
So Soulfly opening up for them was very fucking sick. We got hooked up with that. Shout out to Shonda. She's a good friend of ours. Helped us get onto that. Just basically, you know, was just like, yo, check out this band. Then they were like, yo, we'll put them on a show or something. And it happened. I was like, I'm very much one of those people that's like, it's not real until it's real, you know? So that happened. And I was like, shit, this is real. Yeah, they sound tight. They play a long set and they are just perfect. They're really cool to us. We got like, we played, what was it, Brighton Music Hall? Never played there before, but the sound was sick. Just playing on a stage like that was really cool because, you know, you play like small venues and like sometimes you can't really hear yourself, but like playing there was just like, holy shit, I can hear everything. A little weird with the barricade, but we had some homies roll up and show out for us, and that was really sick. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's cool. Last time I saw Soulfly was in 2005, and they actually played with Throwdown. You remember Throwdown, the hardcore band?
Yeah,
it was at the Axis in 2005, which I don't think is
Throwdown and Soulfly.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's it.
Yeah, it was cool.
I did Throwdown like once. I think there was a Skate Fest at Palladium years ago.
Yep. They always came to the Palladium for sure.
Yeah. I never got to see Throwdown, and I listened. I wasn't ever straight edge, but I never got to listen to that. I could never get to see him though.
Sick. I think I saw him at Ozfest one year.
Yeah, they played Ozfest in like 5 or 6 or something like that.
So that's sick. Is there like a 100% memory that you have taken out from that show playing with them? Like,
so honestly, the best memory that I have from that show was like after the show was done. And it was because Gloria, Max's wife, who's also their manager, she was like, oh, you know, like, once you guys are all done packing up, come see me and we'll bring you on the bus. And I was just like, oh, shit. Like, I've never been on a tour bus before ever. So I was like, all right, that'll be cool, you know, just to see what it's like inside. But also, we're like about to go into Soulfly's fucking tour bus. So I was like, that's crazy. So I knock on the door and we're all there and they open it and they're like, yeah, come on in. And I look back at all the dudes and I'm like, cheesing hard. Like, dude, we're about to do this. We go in and we meet Max and he's just so fucking cool. Laid back. He keeps looking at Malik, and Malik is like, he like told me after, he was like, he kept staring at me and I didn't know why, but then he points at Malik's hoodie and he's like, Zabalba, sick fucking band. He was like, shit, yeah. But the funniest thing was I looked down and he's just rocking like Waffle House slides. And I was just like, this man is fucking dope. Just swagged out. But yeah, it was really cool. It was a great experience. And, yeah, I had a lot of fun with that show.
That would be sick if, you know, you guys made such an awesome impression like that. They come back and, you know, they hit you up and they're like, fucking, we'll put you back on this show. We had a great experience the first time. Let's fucking roll out again.
Dude, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be sick. Absolutely. So going on the tour bus, like that is, like you said, you've never been on a tour bus before. That's like a huge deal, and especially with a band like Soulfly, you come in and they're just, you're just kicking it with them. Like, I can't even imagine how sick that was, you know. And like you said, it was the memory you took away from that the most, above all, like, even the show. That was like the sickest part about it. That's fucking awesome. I love that shit.
Yeah, they are amazing, guys. So tight.
Hell yeah.
Excellent. So, like I said, Dead Cell, Papa Roach cover, banger. Love it. And on repeat, what made you guys want to do a Papa Roach song?
All right. Funny story. I had been bagging these dudes in the group chat for so long. I was like, you know, everyone's just always like, yo, we should cover this, we should cover that. And I was just like, guys, this song, because I was listening to, you know, I was watching like Queen of the Damned a lot. And I was like, dude, Dead Cell, it's such a good song. And I sent it to the chat and I was like, we should cover this. Crickets. Nobody said anything. And I think I sent it again like months later. And I was just like, let's cover this. Crickets again. I was like, what the fuck? Then we're about to go into the studio. And it was like, I no lie, like maybe 6 days before we went into the studio to record music. And I was like, guys, I feel like we need another song and we should do this cover. And then everyone was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it only took forever for everyone to disagree. And it was only like a few days before. So everyone was just like, all right, it's go time. We have to learn this song. And even I had trouble kind of like spitting some of those lyrics because like the cadence is kind of crazy. There was like, there's this one part which is just like drums and bass and then like me spitting over that. And that was probably the hardest part of that entire song. But it came out sick. I love it.
So gangster. It's so, so good.
What's the response been like? Everyone loving it?
Yeah, everyone's loving it. I mean, like a few people, I don't think that they knew that it was a Papa Roach cover at first. Unless you're like a really like diehard Papa Roach new metal fan or whatever. I don't think people, because everyone just kind of would like probably think like, oh, Last Resort is the song right. that you should cover. But like, I kind of wanted to just go with something that wasn't going to be the obvious and like do something that would fit us. And I felt like that song definitely fit us.
I think you did a pissy job picking absolutely. That song.
Yeah, totally. Because everybody thinks, well, if you're going to do Pop Roach, you're going to do Last Resort or something like that, that everybody. Yeah. Because I personally, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know that was a Papa Roach song until you told me. And then I was like, oh, no shit. Okay, cool. Yeah. So, cool.
It felt super sick. And I honestly like that version.
I like it more. I was a huge Papa Roach fan. I remember, like, it was one of the first CDs I bought over at when Mr. Trussell
started. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a Papa Roach CD,
no
dude.
No shit. So that's sick that, you know, it sucks that you got crickets for so long and then you were like, let's fucking do this.
I know the band iced you for two times. Then finally, yeah, a couple days before, let's roll. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a fight for that one.
You got it though. It's all that counts.
Yeah. I'm happy that it happened.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So, tour with Edict starts March 30th.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys excited for that?
I do, super excited. It's 2 weeks. I've never done 2 weeks before. So I'm like, damn, preparing, you know, like asking my homies who've been on like month long tours, like, what should I do? You know, like, I really want to be prepared for this, you know, because it's nonstop. We're not like, there's no breaks. It's just 14 days straight for us. And they're doing 16 days. They're fucking animals, dude. Like, Edict. Those guys want to rock all the time. Joe's an animal. Love that guy.
So what do you
like? Not taking any breaks.
What are you guys doing to travel for that? You guys like driving in a van?
Yeah, driving in the Wisdom van.
Nice.
Gonna have a couple homies with us too. Gotta have a mosher, you know.
Have to bring, have to
bring
somebody.
Gotta bring a hype man. So, yep. I don't think I've ever moshed for 14 days straight, but man, fuck.
I know we gotta talk to you after the tour and tell you how you feel.
I don't think I'm gonna go 14 days straight, but oh. Our mosher is definitely gonna go 14 days straight.
Are there like is there any show on that like sticks out to you that you're looking forward to, or are you just looking forward to the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole thing, but a couple of days that I'm really looking forward to is obviously Upton, because that's going to be like the kickoff for us, and that's going to be at home. You know, we got Sewing opening up. They're a cool band. They're out of Worcester. They're more like shoegaze. Then we got Face First. They're fucking awesome. They're just like, just thrash. Just so fucking good. We got Move.
Yep.
Got
yep.
Edict. Us. Yeah, it's going to be dope. It's just like, I wanted to book something that was like all over the place, like sound wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are always fun. And then we've got Bonk's Bar, Philly. I want to go. I can't wait to go there. And I got some friends out there, so that's going to be really fun.
Yep.
Freeze MF is going to play. They're really dope. And then there's this show in Richmond, Kentucky, and it's in like the basement of a barbershop, which I fucking sick. So I'm like super excited for that, because like I'm a barber as well. So
that's going to be fucking tight.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see how those guys are. And I don't know, maybe do a cut, get a cut.
Sick.
Hell yeah.
Definitely.
Now, are the all the every stop on the tour, is that going to be a different, like different bands playing with you guys, or is it the same bands throughout the whole thing?
I think there's like a couple days where we're playing with the same band, and I'm sorry, I can't remember it now, because like I've just been getting like these flyers from Joe like out of nowhere, like here and there. But yeah, I think there's like a couple shows where we're playing with a couple bands like 2 days in a row, but just pretty much us and Edict.
Gotcha. Awesome. Good stuff.
East Coast tour, down and back up, which is fire. I mean, like you said, 2 weeks, that's going to be, it's going to be brutal. But like you said, it's going to give you a nice taste of that tour life, you know, and maybe going forward, you guys could book out something that maybe 3 weeks to a month after you do this one, which is fire. I like that a lot.
Hell yeah.
Nice little taste of the tour life to start it out with.
Yeah, and you don't even get a day off, right? It's straight. From what I saw, yeah. Straight, yeah, 14 days. Straight.
Yeah.
Still Brooklyn.
Well, another question that I wanted to ask you. So, like, I'm a metal guy, you know. One of the bands that is, like, honestly my favorite hardcore band is Death Threat. And you worked with Aaron, which is,
yeah,
you know, his sound is unmatched. It's like no other in the scene. How was it working with Aaron?
Working with Aaron was just insane, surreal, because I got a lot of respect for Aaron. Aaron, he's a really great dude. I've grown up listening to Death Threat, you know, since like high school, seeing Death Threat a lot. Definitely got a lot of, I guess you could say, like my style, like cadence wise from him, and any other heavy bands that kind of had like flow, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Linkin Park, just shit like that. And I was listening back to like a lot of older material that we had, and I was just like listening to it, and I was like, I really, without knowing it, was doing like Aaron in this song. But working with him was insane. I was just like, I can't believe this. Like, again, I was just like, it's not real until it's real. And then when we stepped into the studio, we recorded at Don Fury's in Troy. And that was like when it was like, all right, this is real. Like, this is happening. And, yo, he put everything into it. He did great.
That's what's up.
So that was exciting.
I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. I was at This Is Hardcore, and I got to see you sing for Death Threat. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like favorite song. That song was on repeat all the time. And when I said that, I was like, yo, this is my favorite song. Are you guys going to be playing it? Because like, I never heard them play it before.
Oh, no shit.
He was like, yeah, that's on the list. Like, you want to sing it? I was like, yo, yes. So I was like, all right, say less.
Yeah, I thought that was tight, man. I got to see you do that. I got hit in the face, actually, relatively, like, probably the hardest I've ever gotten hit to. I was like, fuck.
During that song?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's got to be a clip, because, like, I'm dead center, like right in front of the stage, watching you do your thing, and I get fucking rough.
That's what I like to hear.
So would you say, like, is he one of your personal influences then? Like,
oh yeah, big time.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. There's like, there is nothing, there's no one that can imitate what he's done.
No.
At all. Like, his style is so unique. Peace and Security is, and I've said this to him so many times, I'm like, yo, you wrote, like, the craziest fucking album. Like, you guys wrote, like, in my eyes, it's in my top three greatest of all time albums. But yeah, his flow is insane. Just his cadence, what he's saying, the delivery, everything is just fucking dope.
Yeah, his flow is, like I said, unmatched to anyone else. And his voice is so unique.
It is.
It just works. You know, everything
from
his voice, the way they play, the style that they play, everything just works. And I think that's probably why they're one of my favorite hardcore bands.
I fucking love them.
Not my favorite. And it's
it can't be duplicated at all.
Absolutely.
Nah, he's one of a kind, man.
Often imitated, never
duplicated. Never.
Yeah, never.
Now, couldn't. Do you have, being a female and being a singer, do you have like a favorite female singer or like a female fronted band?
Yeah, I got a couple, but like I would say, really, and it's gonna be sound like funny, but like No Doubt, all the way.
Oh yeah, Glenn. I like that. That's like a fucking badass answer, man.
Dude, No Doubt, all the way. Just a girl, bro. Like, so that's actually, that was the introduction to why I wanted to be a vocalist in a band, was because of Gwen Stefani. Yeah. My mom was like fucking obsessed with that song, Don't Speak. So she just bought the tape for that one song. But I picked it up and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I listened to the whole thing all the time. And then I was just like, yo, her style is dope. Her like voice is dope. Like everything about her, I just thought was sick. And I was like, I want to be in a band. And I was like, I think like I was like 5 when that album came out. So like early on, I was like, I want to be in a band. But like, you know, obviously like I didn't meet anyone until like, I didn't get into hardcore until like 14 was when I started going to shows. But like I was going to metal shows before, but yeah, No Doubt. Walls of Jericho, fucking dope. Candace, yeah, she was just like, that was like an introduction to like a harder vocalist.
Right.
And then Arch Enemy, fucking dope too.
That's a good one. I haven't heard of that in a while.
Shit, I forgot about them, dude.
Dude, the craziest, I've only ever seen him once, and I saw them open up for Slayer, but it was Arch Enemy, it was Sworn Enemy, Arch Enemy, Hatebreed, and then Slayer, and that was fucking crazy.
Right.
Yeah, my first pit was Slayer.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah, I was like 13, I was so scared, I didn't want to go into the Hatebreed pit, because I heard someone lost a ear once, so I was like, fuck that, dude. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first band I pitted to, dude.
Me either. It's probably somewhere in Brockton. To be
honest. I think it might have been Black My Heart before Wheeler was the singer.
Gotcha. Is that when Bruce was still in the band?
I think. And I got, yep. I was like, somebody came up to me and was like, dude, you should be careful. Like, you're a little kid. I was like, yeah, whatever.
That sounds scary.
I grew up going to shows where people died. This is fun. Turned into the Mosh Warrior.
So before, you know, I know you got a lot of stuff. Like you said, you're moving and everything and trying to get yourself, planted in a new place. I just want to ask you, you said that you guys were going into record new music when, the whole Dead Cell cover was agreed upon. What does 2024 have in store for Wisdom and More?
More music. Ton of content to go with it, shows. I don't know, we'll see. But like, I will say this month is going to go crazy with what we're doing. And then, I mean, going into April, we got the tour and everything. So after that, I mean, y'all got to just wait and see. But right now, we definitely got a lot of stuff to like put out for everybody.
Excellent. I know all of us here look forward to that. And like I said, we don't want to take up too much of your time. So after tour, definitely check back in with us. We want to hear how it goes, you know, because I want to hear how the Martian went. I want to hear how the 14 days went.
That's a good one.
So I know it's going to be tiring, but definitely keep in touch with us so we can check back in and see how everything went.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Chanel. Good luck on tour, too.
Thank you so much, guys.